This week is the 40th anniversary of the start of the Troubles which blighted Northern Ireland for almost three decades. But although the conflict is over, with former paramilitaries now part of the governing elite, the peace walls which divide the homes of Catholics and Protestants are still there. Why? Jane Peel reports.
Hi, my name's Damien from BelfastTaxiTours.com. Welcome to Belfast, firstly, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about what you're going to see this afternoon.
It's August and Belfast taxi tours are doing a brisk trade. The political history tour is one of their most popular, and driver Damien, who grew up with the Troubles, is showing visitors their physical legacy.
Unfortunately, in this part of the city, there is a large wall called a peace line that runs right between these two communities.
More than a decade on from the peace agreement, there are more barriers separating Catholics and Protestants than ever, 88 at the last count. Some are simply no-go areas of derelict land. Others are something else. I'm walking along one of the oldest and longest peace lines in Belfast. It started out as a makeshift barrier of burnt-out vehicles, then it was replaced with barbed wire. Now it stretches for at least a mile, and it's around 50 feet high. There's mesh fencing on top of steel shutters on top of concrete, and this was meant to be temporary. But here, wounds are slow to heal. Republican Sean Murray was a teenager 40 years ago when Catholic families were burnt out of their homes in this West Belfast street.
People were shot dead. People were burnt out of their homes, etc. It was just total disbelief and fear. You know, fear of one's life, fear of, you know, for the rest of one's family. We only missed getting burnt out by about three doors. You can see the whole street we were standing now, it was raised to the ground, etc. And I think it radicalised the whole generation of young nationalists in 1969.
The radicalised Sean Murray went on to become a top IRA man. He's now working to resolve tensions, but says it's still too soon to take down the walls.
We need to sort of deal with the barriers in people's minds before they have the confidence of dealing with the physical barriers. I think we'd all have an aspiration to remove the physical barriers, but unless the underlying issues are dealt with, I think it's a bit premature to sort of start taking down the physical stuff.
People on both sides of the wall seem to agree. While some told me they want the barriers down, most don't, with each community blaming the other for the continuing sporadic outbreaks of violence.
They'll have to stay up for a while, till this peace process is a wee bit longer, because things is a wee bit still insecure.
It's vital to the Protestant community that it stays. You've still got the Republicans still attacking Protestant areas.
That man told me he didn't hate Catholics and didn't bring up his children to hate them. So what does his 10-year-old daughter make of the peace line?
It's okay, I don't really mind, unless it just keeps us away from them, the Catholics. There's no trouble starting.
Do you have any Catholic friends?
No.
Would you like to?
No.
In fact, this little girl doesn't know anyone who's Catholic. In this part of the city, children live in segregated areas and go to segregated schools. Some suggest this isolation merely encourages continued hostility between children too young to have witnessed the Troubles. So is there any prospect of the peace walls coming down soon? Neil Jarman, director of the Belfast-based Institute for Conflict Research, says the political will is there.
What we've seen over the last 12 months is the beginnings of a debate on this issue. It wasn't on anybody's political agenda in the early part of the peace process, and we're now beginning to think about that strategy for removal. People have got very used to them. They see them as something necessary. They're afraid of the consequences of taking them down. I think if we've got them all down in a generation from now, we'll be doing well.
Jane Peel, the correspondent there. We're getting lots of